Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya, folks. You're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 89 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on November 16th, 2015. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name's Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Kevin Kessler,
Peter,
how are you?
Mandel, what's going on?
Nothing. What are you doing?
I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. What's going on with that?
No, I don't know. It's just been a week. It's been a bit of a week.
Good week?
Sure. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So, pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones. Let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah? What's up with you?
Not much. It's, showtime.
So, how's Orlando?
It's actually, the weather's been wonderful.
Really?
It's been in the mid to high 70s all week. Occasionally getting into the low 80s, but at night it drops into the 60s. It's very nice.
I gotta tell you, New Jersey is also pretty nice, believe it or not.
I had heard that. I've spoken to a few people that are up your way, and we are not alone this week. We are being joined by a guest this week.
Who is it?
It is. So here's the thing. So this week I wanted to do a special topic. I enjoy meeting a lot of you guys out in the parks. I always love when you guys tell me you're here, and I go and I meet up with people. Sometimes it works out wonderfully. Sometimes it's painfully awkward. But one time recently,
is it really?
No, it's never actually been painfully awkward. I'm assuming that there will come a day unlike any other, where it will be painfully awkward.
What would be painfully awkward? Like, how bad do you think it'll be?
I don't know. Like.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
I know you can't, and I will definitely tell you. But no, there was actually one time I got a message from someone. And they were just like, hey, just letting you know, I'm here with a bunch of people, and, if you wanted to meet up. So I was like, okay, cool. So little did I know, because you can't tell from a Facebook message, he was British, right?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
They don't spell the words differently?
Yeah. Met up with. So our guest this week is my friend Adam Rose. He is from the UK. And it was cool because, I had never spoken to him before. And we met up in Disney and became pretty good friends. And so, we met up a couple times, right? Like three times, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you were here for long enough. So, Adam, welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's great to be on.
Yeah. So, Adam, where in England are you from?
It's a place called Milton Keynes. It's like 60 miles or so north of London.
Yep. Okay. And so Adam was recently in Walt Disney World for a whopping 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. So that kind of puts your 10-day trip last year to shame, Peter.
Yeah. What do you do for 3 weeks?
It was partly a trip to actually go to a wedding, a family wedding. And also, to do the trip justice, really.
They used it as an excuse to go for 3 weeks, the wedding.
Right.
So, but we are going to get into that, actually. Our e-ticket attraction this week is going to be traveling to Walt Disney World from abroad, which Pete and I have no experience doing, and Adam has all the experience doing. So that's going to be our e-ticket for this week. But first, we have the news. But before we get to that, as always, some mousekeeping items. Folks, if you are an Amazon shopper who's going to be doing any shopping on Amazon.com, maybe do some of your holiday, holiday shopping on there. You can first go over to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com, click the Amazon link at the top of the page. It takes you to that same Amazon page you always go to. Only the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage back of what you purchase. If you are looking to help out the network in a more direct manner, you can always go to whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com/sponsor, where you can make a small monetary donation to the upkeep of the network and the server. No matter how small, it is always appreciated. I actually wanted to take a moment right now. We didn't have an episode last week because it was a rough week. We weren't able to meet the server cost last week, so we had to cancel the episode. But I let everyone know when our Facebook group was up. And we had a bunch of people that kind of rallied to the cause and showed their support of the show. So I just wanted to take a quick second to thank a couple people. I wanted to thank Kay Pern. Margaret Cook, Cheryl Pavia, and Michael Fernandez for your donations that helped get the show back up. Also wanted to send out a special thank you to one person who asked me to not name them on the show, but they gave a very generous donation that immediately was able to help put us over the mark and get the server space back. So I just wanted to thank that person specifically, as well as everybody who donated. It really warmed my heart to see that you guys care about the show enough to, whereas, if it doesn't come out for a week, you guys are always willing to lend a helping hand. It always feels good, Pete, to have friends like that.
Definitely. I mean, they're basically our heroes this week.
Yes, basically, you guys were our heroes. And so also, folks, if you're looking to support the show and want to get something out of it, you can order a Two Men and the Mouse t-shirt. Adam, you got one of those.
I did.
You got two of those, didn't you?
We did get two. Well, yeah, there's a story about the other one.
Okay. We don't have to go into that. Yes, Adam's girlfriend, Susie, decided it wasn't pink enough for her. But we actually, so we have those Two Men and the Mouse t-shirts that are available at teespring.com/whitedragonpn. So it's teespring.com/whitedragonpn. We also actually just unveiled a new shirt. We're going to be putting out a new shirt every month now. So our new shirt can be found at teespring.com/twomenandthemouse. That's number two, Men and the Mouse, whip, WHIP. The new shirt, it's got a picture of a Dole Whip with two pineapples on it, and it says, "Watch me whip." Right? Pete's nodding in approval.
I get it.
It seems like a T-Fury shirt, doesn't it?
Yeah, in a way, right?
Yeah. Wait until you see next week's shirt, Pete, because we're both buying them.
Oh, wow.
Not next week, next month. I'm not going to give any spoilers. I will tell you, it's out of this world.
Oh, I mean, I knew as soon as you said we both wanted it.
Yeah. Those shirts will always be dropping on the Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/groups/twomenandthemouse. I'm back in the parks periscoping now. You can follow me along with me on Periscope at White Dragon Podcast Network. We were periscoping for Magic Kingdom the other day with all the new stuff going on there. And as always, folks, please check out, for all your Disney news, Orlando Pass Holder, which you can find at orlpassholder.com. All your Disney news. We're about to get into our news, and the news this week brought to you by Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Okay, guys, ready to jump into the news?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, so the worldwide news, the news coming both to America, to the UK, and beyond. Walt Disney World is now accepting digital gift cards. So what is a digital gift card, Peter Mandel?
You tell me.
Okay, so a digital Disney gift card is a gift card that you can use digitally, if that wasn't enough of a...
I get it now. Yeah. Now it all makes sense.
You can load these onto any smartphone wallet app, such as Passbook or Google Wallet, things like that. And all of the parks are now accepting them as of today. So there you go. That's for those of you who don't want to carry around 10 million gift cards in your wallet.
I get that. You don't want to lose it.
Right. Or you like, it's like, you know, how much do I have left on this one? You know, it's easier to just do it digitally. That's what I say. Save the planet. Okay, so Disney Springs news. Planet Hollywood. Have you guys ever eaten at Planet Hollywood? Adam, you ever eat at Planet Hollywood in Disney Springs?
No, because I've just heard terrible reviews.
Oh,
yeah.
No. See, I loved it. Pete, did you ever eat
there?
Oh,
really?
I'm going to say I've eaten there 30 times.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah.
That's like your place.
It was when it first opened back in the day. I mean, we would go there almost every night after the parks and like hang out. It was also a different time for Planet Hollywood.
That was the Pleasure Island time.
Yeah. I mean, that place had like a 2-hour wait all the time. Mm-hmm. I remember I had this card that let me get in, like bypass the line. And Heather and I would go almost every night.
Wow, that's great. Did you ever get the Captain Crunch breaded chicken fingers?
That's pretty much all we got.
Yeah.
No lie. We would go there. We'd get one Captain Crunch chicken. And then maybe a dessert. We would split both, mm-hmm. get a drink, and, that's about it. We were just kind of...
Yeah, Adam, you don't know what you're missing with this, because it was chicken fingers breaded with Captain Crunch cereal.
I don't even know what Captain Crunch cereal is.
Oh, that right. You're British. that's all right. When we went to Universal Studios together, he had to explain what all the food in the Leaky Cauldron was.
Oh, that's funny.
It's basically like cereal. It's like a sweet savory mix.
Well, by the way, my sister-in-law makes that at home all the time.
Does she? Well, good, because Planet Hollywood is closing, Peter Mandel.
I was afraid this day would come.
Yeah. It's actually being transformed into a new restaurant experience for Downtown Disney called The Observatory. It's going to be going through a pretty massive overhaul, both inside and out. It's going to be a four-story restaurant with a fully revamped menu. I'm hoping those chicken fingers don't go anywhere, though.
I bet you they're gonna.
Probably. But it's closing down for 6 months to make way for the refurb.
Now, who owns this new restaurant coming in?
You know, I don't know. I didn't check on that because I'm terrible at my job.
You're not terrible at your job, Kevin.
Apparently I am.
I mean, maybe your real life job.
Oh, no, I'm pretty good at that.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. So no resort news, no water park news this week. But we do have Magic Kingdom news. Now, originally, Adam was going to just do the e-ticket with us, but I wanted to get him in on the news just for this one bit of Magic Kingdom news because I want his unfiltered response. The Gaston's Tavern pork shank is gone.
Shocking.
Right? Like, wasn't it just a total, like, blow?
Who made this decision?
I don't know. I don't know. The pork shank, folks, for those of you that don't know, I mean, it was just like the manliest thing you could get in Walt Disney World. It was just a bone with a huge slab of fatty, greasy meat on it.
That sounds awesome.
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
Like, I watched my best friend from back in New Jersey when he was down here just house the thing. Like, completely and utterly take it down. Adam, you had it when you were here, right?
Yeah, I did. And it was going to be replacing my turkey leg because I feel I have similar feelings about it to Pete. And I've had one and I don't really need one now again. Right. So, you know, so yeah, and it was fantastic. It's just such well-themed snack with the Gaston's Tavern. So
yeah, just, and so they got rid of it, but did you see they replaced it with a new entree?
Yeah, I did.
They replaced it with a beef stew.
Okay.
It's served in like the same kind of container you'd get the mac and cheese in, like the pot roast mac and cheese. So it's like that size serving, if you know what that is. But it's, you know, it's hot, like beef and carrots and potatoes and caramelized onions.
Hey, oftentimes when I'm walking around Magic Kingdom or really any of the Disney parks, I'm always like, man, I would love like a hot soup right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's like 105.
Oh, you're doing your sarcastic thing.
No, I'm being serious. And you're walking around, you're like, I'd like some hearty vegetables and a really piping hot soup type of food.
Yes, of course.
I usually end up getting like a kakigori or an ice cream cone instead.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes you want soup.
Sometimes you just want something that's going to raise your body temperature.
Right.
Oh, Adam, your video just turned on. After all that.
I know.
So there he is all of a sudden. But yeah, like, so are you going to get the stew, Adam?
Well, you know, I'll give anything a go, but it doesn't really sound like it's a good replacement.
It's not a good replacement, but I am anxious to try it.
Yeah.
I do kind of want to try it.
We'll give it a go.
Yeah. So the Jingle Cruise has set sail for this season.
Have you gone on it?
I did. I went on it.
And?
Saturday. I loved the Jingle Cruise. I periscoped it, or at least, you know, some of it. It kept cutting out, but I didn't realize, like, I thought it was literally just going to be like new jokes, and so I didn't realize that they like dressed the gorillas up like in Santa hats and like sweaters and stuff.
I told you the tiger had like a Santa hat on, and there were presents in the water.
Yeah, there were presents in the water. The tiger actually had a skipper's Santa hat in its mouth.
Oh, cool!
So it looked like it ate a skipper. So we had a really good skipper, and we didn't have your dry.
I like I was the best.
I was so disappointed when I was listening on that on the Periscope.
Yeah,
that's why I want it.
And you know, it's funny. Like your thing with the guy. Like it's become such a legend that like when I said we were doing the Jingle Cruise, everybody was just typing in the comments like .. Jingle Cruise.
Dude, that guy was the best. I feel like unfortunately now Jungle Cruise in its whole has been ruined for my wife,
right?
Because she just loved it so much that nothing's really going to compete. Right. So hopefully we'll get that guy again one day.
But you know, if you guys get a chance, like everything from the queue to like the names of the boats, it's all Christmased out. It's a complete overlay. I loved the queue. Like the queue had so many cool Christmassy things in it. Like the tarantula in the cage was all like he had like a Santa hat on. So
I'm telling you, I never like wait. We've just talked about this. I never wait in that queue.
I mean, listen, I did a fast pass and I still waited for 15 to 20 minutes.
Man, anytime I go on, it's like, boop, we go right in.
Right.
Yeah, I had to wait in the queue late night one time.
Yeah.
It was not popular.
late night Jungle Cruise? I love late night Jungle Cruise.
Okay. Yeah, it was great.
So the in keeping with the Christmassy theme, the Magic Kingdom decorations are up and they are fantastic. The Christmas decor. So you got the massive Christmas tree right in the first hub when you walk in on Main Street. The wreaths, just everything is just so well themed. The poinsettias, the main hub, now that all the construction walls are down, looks amazing. They actually, the ramps going up to Cinderella Castle are still not open, but what they did is instead of having construction walls there, they've put up like shrubs in front of them. So it looks nicer.
Are they real shrubs?
No, they're not real shrubs.
Hey, did you go for the parade shoot?
No, I avoided it like the plague. I heard that it was just crazy.
I wanted to know if it was going to be good this year.
I heard it was crazy, and I think it was maybe Demi Lovato or something like that. It was like 3 hours late.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there's a lot of like waiting around.
Yeah, I want to like that Demi Lovato.
Yeah, me too. I don't know if it was her, so don't quote me on that. But
well, you've already said it.
So it's out there in the ether, and I'm sure I'll be hearing. I'm sure I'll be hearing from her attorneys. the Frozen Holiday Wish has returned. A lot of people were wondering if it was going to be the Frozen Holiday Wish again this year, or if they were going to bring back the Fairy Godmother. But nope, Frozen has returned.
That makes sense.
How was it? Did you see that last year, Pete?
I'm trying to remember. I think we saw it, but from afar. I don't think we were really paying attention.
Basically, Elsa comes out and freezes the castle. So, if that's what you want to see, it's every night at 6:15. During Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, they will do it both at 6:15, and they will also do it again at 8 o'clock p.m. for a very
Who doesn't time. Want to see that?
I mean, I think I do. I think I definitely do want to see it.
So. Of course you do.
Yeah. Liberty Tree Tavern's refurbishment has been extended. It's been closed since July, originally slated to reopen on the 21st of November. Now will be reopening on November the 24th. So they extended it like 3 days.
Right.
Of course, that's been closed because I think they're sharing a kitchen with the new the Skipper Canteen.
How is that, by the way?
It hasn't opened yet.
Oh.
So I'll let you know when it's... I'll have a full review when it opens, like once I can get in. But oh, and they have also announced the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom Special Edition card for this year.
I saw that. Yeah. It's awesome.
It is Olaf and the Snogies from Frozen Fever. Did you do Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom when you were there for 3 weeks, Adam?
No, we didn't do it.
Really? It all that time and Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom.
Well, you say that, but how many trips did you do, and did you do it every time? Or like?
I mean, I hadn't been there since I only skipped it like the first time because I didn't know it was there, but I do it a decent amount now.
It's on the list, don't worry. It's one of those things that she really wants to do, but we just didn't.
I mean, I always like to go in and just see what cards they're giving out that day and you know, like one day I went in one day and actually one of my friends got me a pack and I opened it up and it's like Yen Sid and it's like there were some really good, like Gopher, like there were some good cards in there, like ones that are, and you always, I think everyone always gets Lightning McQueen.
Oh, really?
I've gotten him in every pack I've gotten.
Huh. Interesting.
It's just like, well, I know I'm going to get three cards and Lightning McQueen. So, ready for some Epcot news.
Always.
Captain EO is closing on December the 6th for good, forever. Get out.
You know, now I'm really happy I did that last time.
Yeah. I mean, I still haven't done it. I'm going to get over to it before the 6th.
You have to. I'm embarrassed to say how much I loved it.
Yeah, but I know. Like you
love
like
Power Rangers.
I do love Power Rangers.
I'm telling you, it's got a strong Power Rangers feel to it.
Does it? I mean, really, like...
It really does.
I don't know, man. But it's being replaced by the Disney Pixar Short Film Festival.
Yeah, I saw that. Mm.
Yeah. So you're going to be able to watch a bunch of animated shorts in 3D. Maybe Feast, you know, like I'm just thinking out loud. Things like Feast, things like Tangled, Ever After. They haven't announced which ones it's going to be. I think it's three different ones.
From the sound of it, I mean, it sounds like they're trying to basically give it almost like a 4D element.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably going to be things that...
Like you'll smell the lava from lava.
What does lava smell?
I'm sure it smells like burning.
Right.
I've never gotten close enough to lava to see if it smelled.
Yeah.
I have a dream. My wish will come true. Sorry. That you are there with me and I am here with you. All right.
Is this like the awkward moment like that you're anticipating having?
What?
Is this like one of the awkward moments that you're anticipating having?
Yeah.
Right.
Did you do that a little bit too much, clearly?
Yeah, clearly. Also in Epcot, so something has closed, but something is also opening. Colortopia has opened in Innoventions East. That is all about colors and, you know, the spectrum of colors.
It's Glidden Paint, right?
It is. I'm pretty sure the Crayola factory, the Crayola experience that just opened down here, is not too thrilled about it. But yeah, this is, you know, Disney and Glidden Paint going into the worlds of color.
You know, Glidden is my paint of choice, to be honest with you.
Is it because it's Disney paint? Or
No. We painted the house with Glidden paints. So I was happy to see the anytime something I do aligns with Disney, I feel right, like, you know.
It's like the universe, like, directing you toward the paint.
Right.
Gotcha. So, DAC news. We have seen the first of the floating mountains glimpsed for Pandora.
Oh, have we?
Yeah. Well, it's a couple. You can find pictures of it online. Basically, our good friend, the High Reach Crane. Love the High Reach Crane. Yep.
Big fan.
Yep. Big, huge fan. They were loading pretty much all of Pandora is like behind trees and walls right now. But the other day they were loading one of the floating mountains in via the crane and people were snapping pictures of it all day. It looks pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got to say, like, I am moderately excited for this Avatar Land.
Do we know how it's going to be a floating mountain?
No. And I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. I just have no idea how they're going to do it. And, like, is water going to be falling from the floating mountains? Like, that's, you know?
I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Pandora, we had new concept art and details revealed for the Navi River Journey. So this is your D-ticket ride, basically. The one that it's like, if you don't like thrill rides and you're not going to like the experience of riding on that Banshee, this is the ride for you. This is just a nice, it's like an Avatar Dark ride. You want to hear the spiel about it?
Yeah, let's do it.
One day I want to be like, Pete, you want to hear about this? And you just be like, no. Move on.
I feel like that day could happen in any minute.
Whenever I say it, I'm always expecting it to happen, but.
No, okay. But I actually do want to hear about this because I feel like you and I have to really commit to Avatar.
Oh, we do.
And I'm not fully there yet, so any information I can get, I will take.
I'm actually currently growing my hair out in the back so that I can have a super long ponytail when it comes out.
To connect to your riding animal?
Of course.
Right.
Pandora, the world of Avatar, will bring a variety of new experiences to Disney's Animal Kingdom, including a family-friendly attraction called Navi River Journey. The adventure begins as guests set out in canoes and venture down a mysterious sacred river hidden within the bioluminescent rainforest. The full beauty of Pandora reveals itself as canoes pass by exotic glowing plants and amazing creatures. The journey culminates in an encounter with a Navi shaman who has a deep connection to the life force of Pandora and sends positive energy out into the forest through her music. Navi River Journey will open with Pandora, the world of Avatar, in 2017. It's amazing that is still 2 years away.
I know, but I don't care. I'm excited.
I know.
It's hard to think that the Disney World we go to now is going to be so different in just like 2 or 3 years. Right. You know?
Like, Adam, you're coming in, what, a year at this point? Like a little under?
Yeah,
year.
Yeah.
It's still not going to be open.
September.
Yeah, it's still not going to be open.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, I just hope that means it's going to be really good.
Now, brace yourselves for the DHS news, guys, because it's all Star Wars.
I don't even like Star Wars.
What? Your comic book shop is Rogue Comics.
Yeah, it's true.
Star Wars is like your thing.
Named after Rogue Squadron, thank you.
Yes, how dare you? All right. So, Star Wars weekends have been officially canceled. We all saw this coming.
That seems okay to me.
I'm cool with it because it's, you know, this was announced via the Disney Parks blog. They said, and work begins next year on the 14-acre Star Wars-themed land at Disney's Hollywood Studios. With construction underway, unfortunately, we won't be able to offer Star Wars weekends. While Star Wars weekends has been a great way to enjoy the saga for a few days every year, now the Force will be with Disney's Hollywood Studios every day. So there you go. Pretty much exactly what I had always thought it was going to be. It's just like, this is basically just going to be Star Wars weekends every single day.
Right.
Yeah. Seasons of the Force has actually started in Disneyland now.
I heard that.
The Hangar Bay is open. So, Adam, you've never been for Star Wars weekend, right?
No. And I don't imagine we're probably going to, obviously
well,
now.
Obviously now you're not going to. Okay, so the new Force Awakens Star Tours sequence went on soft open today.
Please tell me you went.
I didn't. I didn't actually find out about this until like an hour ago when I was compiling the news. But I will tell you, I am tentative plans call for me to go tomorrow to do this.
Like at opening?
No, I have to work tomorrow. I have a job. But yeah, I'm going to go. I'm probably going to go tomorrow after work just to do it. So pretty much what they're saying is it's going to be in every sequence for the first few months.
Yeah, it's what I heard.
And then, you know, obviously, I mean, at first I was like, wait a minute. I don't like knowing that it's going to be the same thing every time I go on to Star Tours. But it makes sense because it's new. Everyone's going to want to see it. And it's
It's
promoting the film.
Right.
So, but then eventually after a couple months, it's going to be phased into the regular rotation. The one thing I want to know is it a beginning or is it an end? I'm assuming it's an end, which bothers me because that means it's going to be a couple months where I will not get my beloved, Boba Fett chases you through Geonosis.
Yeah, I love that one.
And then Darth Vader chases you in a TIE. I mean, come on.
I actually thought it would be a beginning, but
I could see it being an end, though. Like, I could see them wanting it to be, like, the finale. Because, like, here's the thing. Outside of Hoth, the other beginnings, like, I'm not really wild about any of them.
See, if it has an end, though, that means that it's actually has a conclusion with some dude there, like, waving to me or something. Mm. I don't know. I just didn't know if they were going to go that route with this one.
Or it could be the Geonosis where, like, you just speed away from it and there's the Rebel fleet.
Yeah.
So
I just didn't know if they were going to show all that.
Yeah. How many times did you do Star Tours when you were there for 3 weeks?
About five or six, I think.
Were any of you the Rebel spy?
No, not at all.
Wow.
It was, yeah, disappointing. Yeah. But to be honest with you, it's probably more than that. It's probably like eight times. Probably there.
Yeah. I don't know if I've been on it eight times. I probably have been on it eight times since I've been down here. Okay, so the Star Wars launch bay officially has a... Oh, by the way, the new Star Tours sequence goes into full-on opening on December the 1st. So as with any soft opening, it could be implemented or pulled at any point in time. The Star Wars launch bay is set to open also on December the 1st. So that is going to be, you know, with all these awesome new Star Wars experiences. It's actually funny, the TV's on in the background. There's a Disney Springs commercial on right now. It's almost like, it's trying to...
I don't see it on my TV.
Yeah, no. Because you're watching football. Basically, from what I saw, Stacey Gregory was periscoping from Disneyland today, so I saw like a brief snippet of her in the Star Wars hangar bay. And the one thing I noticed, the opening crawl was on the ground.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved that. So, I mean, I'm all for a place where you're going to be able to meet Darth Vader and Chewbacca.
Yeah. I think you can't beat that.
I think they've confirmed that Vader and Chewie will be in there. It's not Boba Fett like I wanted, but, you know, we'll get there.
Come on.
We'll get there. And new details have been revealed for Jedi Training Trials of the Temple, which is the new Jedi Training Academy. Have you seen anything on this, Pete?
I did, of course.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Doing a little bit of research on it.
Yeah. So they're building a new set currently. It is going to be taking place in an ancient Jedi temple. And you are now going to both be fighting Darth Vader and from the Star Wars Rebels television show, which is awesome, by the way. You will be fighting the Seventh Sister, one of the Inquisitors.
Who's voiced by?
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire.
There you go. Good job, Kevin.
Yeah, oh, no. I'm on top of this.
Rebels has been great.
I'm wondering how they're going to break it up. Like, if everyone fights both of them, or if it's like you fight one or the other.
I bet they're going to find a way you fight both of them.
Probably.
Or, I mean, in the wording, does it actually say that you fight, like, both of them?
I mean, it says it features them both. Maybe you just fight the Seventh Sister and not Vader.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe she's there and, you know, you're not actually, like, fighting her.
Or maybe you're not fighting Vader. Like, maybe Vader's like, I don't want to lose to these kids. Like, it ruins my image.
Right. I've been getting my butt kicked for how many years now?
It's been years. These kids come up here and whoop me across the stage. No more, I say. I've renegotiated my contract. I have Sith minions now. Let them do it.
I hang with these stormtroopers who all think they're stand-up comedians.
They do. Stormtroopers are very funny.
They are funny, though.
Yeah. All right, so that's the news this week.
I wonder how crazy that Jedi training is going to be.
Probably pretty crazy. as is any new experience, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I was, and, you know, like we said, there is no slow period anymore.
Yep, those days are gone.
You know, I mean, I was over there, I was there on Saturday morning, and there was a line for the TTA.
You know? Yeah, but Saturday morning, you expect that.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the real test is when you go on weekdays, but, you know, we'll see as time goes on. All right, so that does it for the news. We are going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back for our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned, folks. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. It sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
All Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. Folks, we here at WDPN love Disney, and that should come as no surprise to anyone. But we never lose sight of the fact that the entire Disney universe sprung forth from the mind of one man. Walter Elias Disney and his tireless quest to create magic has inspired all of us for decades upon decades. But there's so much we can learn from a man like Walt Disney, who so embodies the ideas of chasing your dreams and daring to believe. And perhaps Walt's greatest accomplishment and journey was the creation of his ultimate dream, Disneyland. But how can you apply the shining examples this man set on his way to creating a landmark that has stood for six decades to your own life? You can find out in The Wisdom of Walt, Leadership Lessons from the Happiest Place on Earth, a new book written by college professor Jeffrey Barnes. Jeff examines the incredible journey Walt undertook to create Disneyland and the lessons he garnered from years of hard work and American ingenuity. He encapsulates it perfectly and then shows you how to apply this to your own daily life. Furthermore, he examines what the park means to the Disney universe, the United States, and the entire world, showcasing what can happen when a dream truly becomes immortal and outlives the man who created it. What better way to celebrate the 60th anniversary of Disneyland than by reliving the adventurous, real-life endeavor of a man who dared to dream the impossible and brought so much joy into our lives as a result, and then apply his journey to your own life in the end? To pick up your autographed copy of The Wisdom of Walt, visit thewisdomofwalt.com or download the ebook copy from the Amazon Kindle store and start applying the wisdom of Walt to your life today.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Guys, we all love to give the gift of jewelry to our ladies. And ladies, shouldn't your jewelry tell the story of you? Personalized charm-based jewelry is all the rage right now. So, naturally, those large jewelry stores are going to try to price gouge you, making a simple token of your affection much more financially difficult. So thank goodness for My250.com. My250 allows you to personalize your own unique look through earrings, bracelets, necklaces, wine glass markers, and so much more. What's more, they have lines of products inspired by the popular 50 Shades of Grey and, my personal favorite, Disney. Their Disney stuff is absolutely off the chart. I got one for my wife. She absolutely loves it. They even take custom orders. So what are you waiting for? And what's more, listeners of the White Dragon Podcast Network receive 10% off when they enter the promo code WDPN15 at checkout. That's W, D as in dog, P as in podcast, N as in network, 15 as the promo code. So head on over to my250.com. That's M-Y numeral 2, F-I-F-T-Y.com. M-Y number 2, F-I-F-T-Y.com. And tell your own personal story with the jewelry that you wear.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Folks, people travel to Walt Disney World from all over the world, and living here in America, Walt Disney World is just usually a brief car ride or a plane ride away. But what about when people come from other countries? What about when people cross oceans and continents and traverse the globe just to come to the most magical place on Earth? Well, that is why this week, for our e-ticket attraction of the week, Pete and I have brought in Adam Rose from the UK to talk a bit about traveling to Walt Disney World from abroad. So, Adam, I know we touched on this a little bit in the beginning. So just give us a brief overview of your trip. So 3 weeks.
Yeah, so 3 weeks. It was sort of end of August, beginning of September time. Mm-hmm. And the first part of the week was sort of taken up by wedding activities. Like mm-hmm. we said, there's part of what we were out there for. So there was a few days taken up with that. But and outside of Disney stuff, we did Universal. We went and did SeaWorld and Busch Gardens.
Oh, you did SeaWorld.
We did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And now, how, like, when you, was it awkward to do the wedding stuff? Like, were you guys just like, all right, come on, come on, come on?
Like, no, but to be fair, you know, we went when we went purposely because we wanted to be there for this wedding. It was really important to us to be there for the family wedding.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was really cool to be there for that. But, you know, obviously, yeah, it does take up your holiday time a bit. But that's, you know, that's mm-hmm. why we went for 3 weeks, you know.
I've noticed, because, you know, like we always say there is no downtime anymore. There is no slow time anymore. And I noticed that, like, during the typical slow time for, like September, October, I was noticing a lot more folks from Europe and, like, yeah. abroad. So it seems to me like they've kind of, like, opened up the deals in order to, like, so what's it to get people to come, you know, at that time of year? So what is it like to book a trip coming here from abroad? Like, is there, like, how do you, like, is it the same kind of thing? Can you use a normal travel agent like Dave Weichert of Magical Travel?
Yeah, you can.
You can. Okay.
You can. But, you know, if you want to get your better deal and things like that, especially with free dining and all that stuff, you're better to book straight through Disney or through a travel agent that's able to offer that deal.
Right. Because you're traveling from another country and they're offering these deals specifically for other countries, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you'll notice at the beginning of September, because our school timetables are a bit different to you guys. So term time is at a different time. So your summer break is like...
Our summer break starts in like mid-June and they go back like the second week of September.
Really? Is that long? Because it didn't seem like that. It didn't seem like that was the case, because it seemed like...
Different states are different. Like in New Jersey, that's what it is. Like in Florida, they went back a lot earlier.
Yeah, but it's the same, like, we actually, the schools over here, they break up at the end of July, and then they go back at sort of, second week of September.
They break in July? So,
yeah, it's a six-week break.
Wow.
It's
pretty nuts, Pete.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah? You're not that wowed by it?
I don't know. I do feel like our vacation's long.
I was about to be like, well, you know, it's got to be before the 4th of July, and then I remembered, oh, wait. England.
Yeah.
So I sometimes forget. All right. So was there like a, because now normally to book it from someone in the States, the maximum number of days I believe you can get, right, Pete, is like a 10-day park ticket.
Yep.
So you guys got,
I think,
what?
Maybe 14. Is it 14?
I thought it was 10. But
I don't know. But we got 21-day ultimate ticket.
Goes into a 21-day ultimate ticket? I assume it's just a park hopper.
So it's park hopper. So you can go to all four parks. You can go to two water parks. You can go and play the miniature golf, the adventure golf. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Went to Winter Summerland and went to the Fantasia Gardens one. And me and Sam played a round of golf around the Oak Trail.
Sam is his brother.
I'm actually his uncle, but. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, seriously.
I thought you were brothers.
No.
Why'd you say my brother when you introduced? I thought you did.
I did not.
I thought you did.
This is really awkward.
This is awkward.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So Sam's your nephew.
Well, my brother was also there.
Oh,
but...
okay.
Is he also named Sam?
No, he's not. His name is Jamie.
I really didn't pay attention, I guess.
I guess. But, yeah, so we went and played... the Oak Trail golf course.
Oh, nice. So, like, did you have to, like, rent clubs?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
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 How was it as compared to, like, other, I mean, like, because, you know, over in Europe, there's some most amazing golf courses in the entire world. So, like, how did it, like...
Well, I can't afford to play those, so...
Right.
But, you know, it was nice, and, you know, because it's included, obviously, it was really good, and yeah, I think, yeah, it was a really nice course, I think. But it's a walking course, so that's sort of what did us. It's only nine holes, but even teeing off really early in the morning, the heat really gets to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming in September, you know, late August, early September, it's still monstrously hot at that point in time. And it's rainy season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got caught in the rain how many times?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that famous incident with Pooh running for cover.
Yes. We were in Cosmic Rays, Pete.
Right.
And we get into Cosmic Rays. We're enjoying the dulcet, otherworldly tones of Sunny Eclipse. And all of a sudden it starts downpouring and we see Winnie the Pooh run by Cosmic Rays with an under an umbrella, like holding an umbrella. It was one of the coolest moments.
I am fascinated that every character spot has like a rain location.
I don't know if he was going to a rain location or what, but like, because that Winnie the Pooh spot is pretty covered.
It's crazy. We did Donald over by Mexico.
Okay.
And his rain location is right inside of by San Angel. So we had to follow him to that. And we did like, we did Belle's rain location last time, which is like inside one of the French shops where they have like a little bit of space.
Okay.
It's crazy. Okay. They have like a plan for rain for all of those characters.
That's you know what? And did you guys, now, being that it was so rainy, I don't know if either of you guys have ever seen this, the rainy day parade that they do.
No.
They do a rainy day parade. Like, I walked in one day and it was kind of raining, and I see this parade going by that I'd never seen before, with floats I'd never seen before. All the characters are like wearing raincoats, and like the cast members were like splashing in puddles and galoshes and stuff. And I pull a cast member around, I'm like, what is this? They're like, oh, it's the rainy day parade.
When did you see that?
It was a couple weeks. It was like a month ago.
Wow, that sounds cool.
Yeah, I was like, oh, go figure. Rainy day parade.
Never heard of that.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, no, it was pretty awesome. They weren't doing Not So Scary yet when you guys were here, right?
Were they? Wait, were these rainy day people? Were they like, why don't you have a poncho on?
No. No, I think people pretty much know my deal with that by now.
Okay.
So, Not So Scary wasn't happening yet, right?
No, yeah, they had all the, these sort of decorations, everything up, but they didn't. Yeah.
So coming from over there. So now they're giving you special, like this 21-day ultimate ticket. Like that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, and I was looking at prices earlier today, and it works out as £15 a day, which is $20.
Yeah, that's really not much. Wow, that's like pretty incredible.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The longer you go, actually, it's more economical. It's a more sort of, I mean, obviously, it still costs you more the whole trip, but you know, in terms of what you get per day, it's pretty good.
And do they give you free dining with that as well?
So no, but the trip that we booked, me and Susie booked for next year, that's got free dining. And I just looked today, actually, just out of interest, to see what the same trip would have cost us. We booked it pretty soon after we come back from our previous trip, and it's over £1,000 more, so like $1,500 more to book today. To get the same thing we've got, because we got free dining.
So you guys jumped right on it then.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Like, because, you know, with us, it's like we wait here in the States, like we wait for free dining, like on pins and needles. Like sometimes they don't announce free dining until like a month before free dining is going to start. And I honestly have a sneaking suspicion that free dining is not going to exist for people in the States next year, or at least at least 2 to 3 years from now, free dining is a thing of the past.
I can't imagine. I can't even believe it's still around.
Yeah, it's like when I saw how many people were there this fall, I was just like, they do not need this anymore.
You know, I always hear about, you know, people who like wait for free dining to like book their trip, and I'm like, oh, that's the reason why it's going away, because
they know that people count on. But like for you guys coming over for that long, throwing in free dining like that's a really great bait of the hook right there.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just to get people to commit, and they had it in that little period after the summertime when people have had their vacation and everything, and they're not looking to book just yet. So try and get people to book early, I guess, because the offer ended on 26th of October. So, okay. Yeah.
So, now, reservations done the same way, because here it's always just like, I think all you have to do to book a stay is $200 down.
It was £100 to book, because what we've done, so we hadn't actually booked our flights and anything yet. We just booked the actual hotel and the whole sort of Disney part of it. But it was only £100 to book that.
Okay.
And that was for the Walt Disney Travel Company.
Where do you guys fly out of then?
It's London Gatwick Airport.
Okay. And how long of a flight?
9 hours.
Oh, that's nuts. I couldn't do that.
Yeah. It's totally worth it.
No, I mean, it's worth it, but I feel like most people will come for like a 3 week period like that, because I think for a lot of people that are over in Europe, like coming to the US for Walt Disney World, like I've talked to some people where it's like it's a once in a lifetime thing for them.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
you, exactly. Who's gonna just do it every year now.
Yeah, well, that's true. That might happen. But the thing is that I think even with 3 weeks, okay, you might think, oh, it's 3 weeks. You don't really have to worry about your first day and your last day so much. You can just show up or whatever. But I really wanted to make the most of it. So we were quite happy with the flights we got, where we actually, because the five-hour difference, we took off at 1 o'clock in the afternoon our time. So that's 8 a.m. in Florida. Right. And then our flight. So we actually got in at like 5:30 in the evening, around that sort of time.
So technically, it was a 4-hour flight.
Exactly. But the thing is that I think that sort of flight time helps us in terms of converting, in terms of getting used to sort of the time zone changes and everything. And I think that first day is a write-off, because we have differing opinions, but particularly me and Sam have talked about this a few times, and he kind of likes the idea of going out on the first day, but doesn't want to go out on the last day. Whereas if you use your ticket on the first day, you can't use it on the last day. Whereas I wanted to maximize the time, so we went to the parks on the last day.
Right, because you have a 21-day ticket, but you're technically there for 22 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So I mean, if I was getting in that late, I would never go to the parks.
Yeah.
I mean, no, they're getting, but they're getting in at one, at, what was it, you said 4 o'clock?
It's five. So you actually get into the reserve like 7.
That's kind of a waste of a day.
Yeah, of course it is.
I mean, they flew on a different flight to us. They flew like 2 hours earlier, and then they went to the parks.
So they're getting in at like 3.
Yeah, but I understand the argument for it, like, because you're so excited, you just want to get to the parks and everything. Right. But if you're that tired from all the traveling, it just doesn't make any sense. You might as well get your rest in.
Jet lag's got to be pretty severe coming from Europe.
Yeah, do you know what? Coming over is not so bad. Going back's hell.
Really?
The worst, yeah.
That's what I always said about driving down, like coming from Jersey when we would drive down. The way down was awesome because there was excitement. The way back, it's just like, oh my gosh, can't I just teleport?
yeah, I get that.
So what resort did you guys stay at?
We stayed at All Star Sports.
Okay, what are you doing next time?
We're doing Caribbean Beach next time.
Oh, wonderful. Our favorite.
Nice bump up.
Yeah.
Preferred room?
No. No.
Did you get like a pirate room or something?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is a bump up for us, okay? So
right. So this is just kind of like a roll of the dice. You don't know where you're going to be. Pray for Aruba.
Yeah. Well, we haven't. When we booked to stay in the All Star Sports, we actually booked to stay in a specific area. We stayed in the Dutch Down section. So I'm assuming you can do that within reason. Without
you can make a request.
Upgrades. Yeah.
You
exactly.
can make a request. They don't necessarily guarantee it.
Yeah.
Especially not now that they can charge you more for a preferred room.
Yeah.
Right.
So what did you do the first day? Just went to the room and just hung out, or?
Yeah, pretty much. Because you know, by the time you get settled and everything like that, it's quite late and everything, and because you're tired. So, you know, if it's 7 p.m. in Florida, it's midnight at home, so you're pretty tired.
Right. So.
So. Yeah. Just sort of chilling out. Thing.
So you guys, you came in with no dining plans. So did you make a lot of ADRs beforehand?
We did actually, and that was the reason that when I saw the free dining for next year, we were like, yeah, we're booking this, because we spent a lot of money.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Mainly because, you know, if we listened to Two Men, you know, we sort of grew to sort of appreciate the other side of it. I've been to the Disney World a lot, and I've never really done any sort of the dining or even the snacks or anything like that.
Right.
And it's really like a lot of the fun.
Eating is, I think, would you say it's half the fun, Pete?
You know, I would almost give it a tick over half.
Yeah.
I think it's a big part of it.
You guys did the gauntlet too, didn't you?
We did, yeah.
Yeah. So you had the funnel cake and stuff like that, like things. Like funnel cake, that's not something you're typically getting in Europe, I'm assuming, right? Like
No, never had one over here. Yeah. So we had the funnel cake, we did the pork shank, we did the turkey leg, we did pretty much everything. Carrot cake cookie is probably my favorite.
Oh, carrot cake cookie's amazing. Pete doesn't really understand the carrot cake cookie, but...
No, I love carrot cake, and I imagine I love cookies, so I would like it in a combination. I just don't believe that it's the biggest snack ever.
It's the number two most popular snack on property.
It is not.
It is. Look it up.
It's not going to be in sales. There's no way. But
in polls and stuff.
Who did they poll? Where is this poll?
I heard this from Disney itself.
I know, you're telling me you heard it from someone in the place where they sell the cookie.
Yeah.
So tell me where I can look this up.
You can ask, because it's so crazy. The person in the writer's stop that's selling
them. The people in the writer's stop actually told you this. Wow, that's so crazy.
I was so excited to get this cookie the first time that, like, literally the person behind me, or they were in front of me, and then they were like, oh, go ahead. Like, go ahead up front. So I go up because they were still trying to decide, and I raved about this cookie, and I'm talking to the guy, and the guy's telling me how wonderful of a snack it is, and number two most popular snack in Walt Disney World. And the people behind me were like, we're going to have that too. Oh, we're glad you let you go up. So
they must be on commission. That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm sure they get a certain amount per character.
For every 10 cookies they sell, they get to have one.
So, like, What kind of thing, like, did you guys stock up, being there for so long, did you stock up on, like, other, like, things to keep in the room, like Pop-Tarts and things like that, or?
Yeah, no, we did. So
where did you get that from?
Went to Walmart.
Okay.
So we had a car.
Oh, right, you rented a car.
We rented a car, and so on that first morning, we woke up crazy early. Which
drove
like
on the
excited.
Right side of the road.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. But, yeah, best to go out when it's quiet. So yeah. If I do go on the wrong side of the road, then I'm not killing anybody. But, yeah, so we did that. We went and stocked up on lots of water and Pop-Tarts and things like that, yeah.
Right. So. Were there lots of things that, like, you guys had in Disney that you can't get back home? Besides funnel cakes?
Yeah, most of it. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. How specific? I mean, you can't get churros over here and things like that.
Really?
Like,
no churros?
Yeah, it's not a thing.
Huh. No. It's not a thing. I made them try, the first day I hung out with them, Pete, I made them try the citrus swirl.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the first things we did. I was like, you guys got to
get it. Yeah, and you know what? I'm glad you did, because I wouldn't have tried it otherwise, because I was a Dole Whip man. But
yeah, do you feel better about the citrus swirl now that you've had it?
I'm glad I tried it, but yeah. I'm definitely a Dole Whip guy.
Right. Now, the one thing, I'm assuming you have to do a currency exchange when you get over, right?
Yeah.
Where do you typically do that at the airport, or does Disney have a place where you do that?
No, well, we did it before we went over. I think that's one of the things, if you're traveling from abroad, is that if you've got to, obviously, change your money over, is to monitor what the exchange rate is doing, and if you can, change it as when it's at a good rate, which is what we did.
Right, because it's constantly in fluctuation.
Exactly. Every single day goes up and down. So you just have to keep an eye on it. And if you think you're going to be getting a good rate, if you do it at that particular time, then go ahead and do it.
Coming for 21 days, I mean, like, how much, like, stuff did you pack? Like, how many suitcases did you bring?
So we bought two, but one was less than half full, really. Yeah.
Well, because you wanted to leave room for
Yeah. stuff. So the thing is that I would say is that... a big thing, if you're traveling, particularly from the UK, what people do is they go to all the outlet stores and everything like that.
Right, like the theme park connection and stuff.
Exactly, because you can take advantage of the exchange rate in terms of, you know, see that it being cheaper and everything like that, as well as the outlet stores, the or markdown price and all that sort of thing. So if you want to kit yourself out with a new wardrobe, then yeah, bring an empty suitcase. because you only really need to bring a first few days worth of stuff. And if you're going to be going out doing some shopping, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being there for a full week, though, like, did you guys actually, like, are you one of those, are you like the one person that's ever actually utilized the Disney laundry?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, a couple of times, yeah.
Pete, it's finally happened.
I will say, when we do Beach Club and we have it in the room, we end up using it.
It's in the room, yeah. But, like, I'm talking about, like, using, like, a Disney laundromat kind of thing.
All right, now tell me what souvenirs you bought.
Well, photo album.
Gotta have a photo album.
Right.
Gotta have a photo album.
Did the photo album have the year on the album?
Yes.
I support that.
Right.
Of course you do.
You know, and the other big thing was T-shirts. Yeah, you got to have the T-shirts. So yeah, we've got a few of those.
What was the biggest T-shirt? That...
I got a really nice Magic Kingdom one, actually.
Oh, nice!
I really liked it. It had Walt and Mickey on it, and all the sort of classic emblems from all the different lands and everything on it. It was really nice.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Did you? I mean, I know Susie got a one of those interactive wands at Harry Potter.
She did, yeah.
And it didn't work.
Yeah, and then she forgot to bring it with her one time we went as well.
When I was there with them, she's like, yeah, I'll show you how it works. She stands in front of the window and waves the wand, and I'm like, I'm waiting. Like, they are so hit or miss, these interactive wands in Universal.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I don't think they cost a hell of a lot more, though, than the other ones, which, you know.
I thought there was a substantial amount, because, like, the normal wand is, like, 40, I think.
They're $44.99 for the interactive ones.
Really? I thought that the regular ones were $44.99.
Not that I've looked it up very recently, because...
Uh-huh.
You know.
Because your son's reading Harry Potter.
Oh, he's done with them.
Oh, did he finish it? How did he like the ending?
He loved it.
Okay, good. But now, here's my question. Did you buy anything from the UK Pavilion?
No.
I remember Why would you tell me you didn't like it.
No, well, the thing is that, so they've got, like, chocolate bars and things like that, mm-hmm. that are, you know, UK products and things like that. You said about Jammy Dodgers, you like Jammy Dodgers, right?
Yeah, you guys were, like, giving me, like, tips on what to get over there, too.
Yeah, so they had, I can't remember what particular one it was, I think it was a Aero bar or something like that, mm-hmm. okay? So this thing costs, like, I don't know, it was, like, $8 or something. You can pick them up for, like, 80 pence. Like, I mean, they're like ridiculously cheap over here. Like, so
is that cheap? Because I have no idea what 80 pence.
Yeah, so that's you know,
under like
cents. So yeah, like, oh, really, okay. Cheap. It's like a dollar, right? Okay. So I appreciate they had to import this stuff, but what did they do? Give it its own plane seat? I don't really understand.
Exactly. So, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not really.
Didn't
a big
you
fan.
Say that when you were in the UK pavilion, people thought you worked there?
No, not really. But I tell you what, though, what I found really weird was there was far too many actual British people who were actually in the UK pavilion.
They, oh, really? Like guests?
It's like, why are you here?
You're just walking through on your way to France.
Yeah. So yeah, I didn't really understand that. But
did you eat at Rosencram?
No.
We did eat at the Leaky Cauldron, though.
We did, but you know, this Harry Potter is different.
Yeah, right. It's Harry Potter. Right. It's, you know.
Yeah. You know, and who else is going to explain all this stuff to you?
Like, exactly. Like, I needed them to, like, I'm like, what was, like, the, it was, like, Toad in something? Or
Toad in the Hole.
Toad in the Hole. I was like, what is that? And they had to, like, explain everything to me. I ended up just getting a banger sandwich. that was good. The food there was really good, though.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
I did enjoy that. Yeah. And now, you know what? Speaking of, like, food with beverages, you were telling me there was an issue. This is definitely something that people coming from Europe or even from any other country need to know about, is that was the issue with your IDs.
Yeah, that's right. So we got a UK driver's license, and obviously, and so we took that out with us thinking that'd be absolutely fine for ID. Apparently not. Apparently in Florida particularly, there's been some issues with identification before, so they insist on you having your passport, which strangely enough, they don't actually have to have your passport physically with you. You can have a photograph of it on your phone.
That's crazy to me.
I don't understand that.
Like, yeah. It's mad.
A photo of your passport is better than your physical driver's license.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, the way with UK driver's license, like the way they are here, I don't know if they are. I've never seen a UK driver's license, so I'm not sure. Like, they all have like little barcodes on them that you can scan to make sure that they're like legit. So,
yeah,
like,
and they've got all the sort of exactly. They've got all the features on them that we help you tell whether it's forgery or not.
Did they need the combination of the two?
No.
Or could you have just had a picture of the passport?
Just picture of the passport.
Because like the one time we were supposed to meet up, we were going to go to Trader Sam's, and then the last minute I couldn't go, and you guys tried to go.
Yeah, that's right.
And couldn't get in.
Yeah, that's true. It's, you know, the thing that frustrated me a little bit, actually, there was a little bit of inconsistency as well that went along with that. But yeah, just this whole rule seems crazy.
Yeah. But then, you know, it's also interesting to know, too, because, you know, the drinking age in the UK is, what, 18?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And here it's 21. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could come from another country where you are, you know, let's say you're 20, you've been of legal drinking age for 2 years, and they'll tell you here you can't have anything.
Well, that's why you would have to go there then if you were and drink earlier.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah, I think in the UK pavilion it should be 18, you know.
Did you guys this is true. Did you guys drink around the world?
We did, but it wasn't like a full on. You know, we weren't getting crazy drunk and climbing up pyramids or anything.
Oh my gosh, did you see that?
Yeah, it's great.
Fantastic. We actually, I'm a guest on the Extra Magic Hour, the new episode that's coming out, hopefully tomorrow. And we discussed that. Dimitri and I discussed it on pretty big length. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Banned for life.
No, that's a total banned for life. You know, they banned that meth lab guy for life, so I can only imagine what this guy, yeah.
Just crazy.
So, I mean, coming, like, how much, because, you know, like, Pete and I are planners. We will plan a trip to the T. We will plan it to the nines. We'll plan it going for 21 days. How much of it was it, like, did you know, like, okay, on the 18th day, we know we're going to Epcot, and then we're doing, like, or was it just kind of like, once you pass, like, the second week, is it just kind of like, let's just do whatever we want?
Okay, so the first week was very hardcore planned. Like, everything was really planned out. Right. Okay. And then getting to sort of the tail end of the second week and the beginning of the third week, then things, yeah, we'll do what we want to do. We might make up as we go along, whatever. I think one day we met up with you and with Sam and Alice came along. We sort of, you know, just booked things as we went.
Right.
But we generally didn't do that at all. And the last few days planned out because, you know, you want to make the most of your time and everything like that. So the times you really want to make the most of your time in terms of that first time when you get there, make sure everything's perfect and everything. We had our BR guest reservation on the first day.
Right.
You know, all that sort of thing. So yeah, so a hell of a lot of planning. And I can't say enough in terms of, you know, planning is like a like eating and planning are like the two biggest things, I think, as well as obviously going and
right.
I mean,
especially like if you're coming from another country and you know you're not going to come back the very next year like you're doing, but like if it is a once in a lifetime thing, you really want to make sure that you are planning to the nines and you are maximizing every experience, because if it's the only time you're going to get to do it, then you really, or if it's going to be like years and years until you're going to do it again, I mean, you really got to make sure you do everything.
Well, I really wanted to make sure it was brilliant for my girlfriend Susie, because she'd never been before. I mean, I'd been a lot when I was a kid, but I also, through listening to the Two Men podcast, I, you know, again, like realized that I was missing out on a lot of things, and because I was, you know, a lot younger when I went, because the previous time I went before I went right. this year was in 2003, so it was a long time ago.
Right, I was there. What month were you there?
September.
Oh, yeah, I just missed you. I was there in August.
Yeah.
was it 3 weeks? Like when you would come as a kid, would it be like 3 weeks also?
No, there was the first time I've ever been 3 weeks. So it would usually be 2 weeks. Okay. But, you know, I think for people, if you're coming from the UK or really far afield, you've got to do 2 weeks minimum, I think. To make it worth it. And because you're going to be doing so many other things, I think, you know, if you go regularly and you're from the US and you go for your short trips, you're probably just going to go and do Disney.
Right.
Whereas you're, you know, if you're coming from outside, you're far more likely to go off and do the other things.
How many times did you guys do SeaWorld? Was that like a one-time thing?
We went a couple of times.
How was it?
Well, it was different. I had a very different perspective on it, obviously, having, you know, I saw Blackfish and I,
went. That's why I haven't gone yet.
Yeah.
I have heard, to be fair, I have heard that that documentary was like unnecessarily harsh on like a lot of things. Like,
yeah, I think obviously if you have a certain viewpoint and everything, you know, you're gonna make a documentary about something, it's gonna reinforce your viewpoint to a certain degree, so they're gonna go out of their way to try and do that, although clearly some of their practices aren't the best. But you know, you can see their problem when you go there. You know, we went to the Dolphin show and it was like half full stadium, and it's a really small stadium compared right. to the Shamu Stadium. Go to Shamu Stadium and it's huge and it was packed.
Interesting.
That's what people go to see. So
right,
that's
like meeting Mickey, you know?
Yeah. So they can't really, they find it really hard to phase it out. And you can see what they're doing by building loads of the attractions they're building over there. They're trying to transition it from this sort of, you know, Shamu-centric thing to, right. you know, more about the attractions. But, you know, if that's what's bringing people in, that's their problem, isn't it? So, you know, yeah. they've stopped the whale show. They're stopping the whale shows in California, aren't they? So,
You know, I've been wondering how they're doing, because like their resident annual pass is like $13 a month, no money down.
Right.
So I've been thinking about it, because it's like, well, $13 a month with nothing, with no down payment, like that's really good. But on the other hand, am I going to go to SeaWorld once a month? Like, I don't think so.
Yeah, no,
which
exactly.
Is weird, because I live right, like SeaWorld is like just a little bit further down the road for me than Disney. So.
Yeah. And the thing about it with the SeaWorld ticket as well, it wasn't just about SeaWorld. The ticket that we had included Busch Gardens in it, and going to Aquatica. So
how was Aquatica?
Yeah, do you know what? We only went there once. Okay. I personally quite liked it, although because it's really sort of more sort of thrill ride orientated, and Susie really doesn't like water slides that much.
Right.
We didn't go back again because no one else really wanted to go. There were some people in our group who were particularly, you know, concerned about the animal welfare side of things with
right.
SeaWorld and the dolphin that they've got in the landing pool at Aquatica, that struck a chord with some of them who were like, well, why is that there?
Wait. There's a dolphin in the pool?
Yeah. So they've got this rare species of dolphin. It's like a black and white dolphin. And it's not like, you don't go into the pool where it's there, but like,
it's terrifying.
Yeah, the tube goes through that pool. And it's just like, you're like, well, I don't really understand, like, what's the purpose of this?
Right.
Because you can't see it. You go through too fast, so you can't actually see the dolphin.
Right.
So,
listen, I mean, like, we all know my thoughts on sea life. So, yeah. By the way, Pete, can I tell you know what the one thing I'm more terrified of than sharks is?
I was just going to say, have we extended this to all sea life?
It is pretty much all sea life. I mean, like, I enjoy dolphins from afar, but, like, I don't want to be in there with them.
I mean, you are changing more and more every day.
No, like, actually, like, the big fear has actually not always been sharks. I mean, like, yes, sharks are terrifying. They're monsters of the deep with black, soulless eyes that are just a void
of
darkness.
Let me guess, seahorses.
No, but they are.
They just freak you out.
They are creepy, the way they just spray their babies all over the place. Just like, and they're coming out of the mail. It's just kind of like weird. But no, killer whales are actually a huge fear of mine since I was
more than sharks.
Yeah, they're 1,000 times scarier than sharks.
Why?
Because they're massive and they're mean and they like I saw a National Geographic thing as a kid in which a pack of killer whales took down over a period of like 8 hours, killed and ate a blue whale.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
but you know, this is the thing though. There's no recorded incident of a killer whale killing a human being in the wild.
Oh, really?
Just at SeaWorld.
But well, yeah, it happens at SeaWorld all the time.
But... See, so you'd probably be perfectly safe, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe sharks are still the number one villain here for me.
Yeah. I tell you though, this is a thing related to dolphins. So we went jet skiing in the body of water that goes between sort of the Cape Canaveral and Cocoa Beach area, uh-huh. and the actual mainland bit of Florida, and we met up with some dolphins. There were just a pod of dolphins just going by, and it was amazing. It was probably the best thing about the trip, other
That's
than
really
the
neat.
Else. Disney stuff, exactly, because it was unexpected, you know.
That is really neat. So, I mean, anything else that you think would be, like, really big in, like, the traveling abroad, like, survival kit? Like, maybe certain things that you guys packed that...
I tell you what I wouldn't do, though, is things like, so, sunblock and things like that. You don't really need to pack that, because you can just buy it here, and that's...
You can buy it here, but they do price gouge it.
Yeah, not at Walmart, they don't.
Oh, well, no, if you're you're, like, coming in and taking Magical Express and not leaving property, like, Disney price gouges their sun lotion, but, yeah.
If you can survive, you know, to the point where you arrive and then you can go off early in the morning before you go out anywhere, which is what we did.
Right.
Do that, because, you know, I've been on holidays in the past where you take tons and tons of this stuff and it actually weighs quite a lot.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say you need to do that. But, you know, just make sure you take all the essentials. You know, Florida's hot.
Right.
You know.
Very true.
But, you know, it's a serious point because over here we're just not used to those kind of temperatures day in, day out. And it's the humidity that gets you and all that sort of things. Just be prepared for that.
It is.
You know. Right. So,
all right. So, Pete, you have any other questions before we...
No. I thank you for sharing. I'm fascinated listening to it.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely really good. It's a perspective that you or I are not able to give ever because, you know, you're in New Jersey and I'm here. So,
right.
You know, it's definitely. All right. So anything else you want to add this week, guys? We're about ready to shut off.
No. It was great being on. I'd love to do it again.
Yeah, no, we love having you. Definitely love having you. So without any further ado, that's going to do it for Two Men in the Mouse this week, everybody. See, I got back to energetic.
I know. It's excited, Kevin.
I can get there, Pete. I can totally do it. All right.
Did
so, folks.
Did you do that for me?
No, it was for somebody else. It wasn't really for you, but it's okay. You could think it was for you if you want to. So, folks, please give our social media pages some love. You can always find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Two Men in the Mouse. We are also on Twitter at Two Men in the Mouse. You can also always find the White Dragon Podcast Network at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network. We are also on Twitter at White Dragon PN. We are on Instagram as White Dragon PN also, and Periscope as White Dragon Podcast Network. Also, you can always remember to join in the conversation with us and all of our great friends from around the world in our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/groups/2menandthemouse. It's always number 2 men in the mouse. If you want your questions answered on the show, we are figuring out the logistics with the remote recording of having Dave Weikert back on. So we will be having Dave on soon. So please send your questions to either questions@2menandthemouse.com or kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. And folks, if you like the show, please do us the honor of sharing it with your friends and family members. Tweet it out, talk it up, give us a rating and review in iTunes. Every little bit helps us out tremendously, and it is only through your kind words and praise that this show will continue to grow and prosper. If you love our good friend Peter Mandel, then always please check him out over in Rogue Comics at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016, or check out roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, please look up our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel. You can always find Dave on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email him, dave@magicaltravel.com. And if you want to apply the wisdom of Walt to your life, check out The Wisdom of Walt, the new novel, the new informational guide written by college professor Jeffrey Barnes, which teaches you how to apply the lessons learned from Walt Disney when he created Disneyland to your own daily life. You can check that out at thewisdomofwalt.com. And as always, folks, please check out WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com for all your WDPN needs. Thank you so much for joining us again this and every week. Adam, any closing words?
No.
All right, cool. Pete, any closing words?
No, and thank you for having no closing words, because it's a lot of pressure when he spins, when he just puts that right on you. You don't know what to say.
Shine the light on, right?
I wasn't prepared for that.
Pete's been dealing with it for 90 weeks, and he's still not used to it.
I've learned that no is acceptable.
All right, please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives, and we will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.